Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Okay, so the request has been put in for Uptown Girl.
Go for it.
Uptown Girl. She's been living in an uptown world. Do you remember who the model was in that song?
No, I do not.
No, I don't remember either. But she was a very, very famous model at the time. And I think he actually ended up marrying her. Now, did you know that I think he's been bankrupt twice because both of his, I think a wife took all his money off him and then also a, also his manager took all his money off
him. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Billy Joel. You wouldn't think that he would go bankrupt. I mean, my God. But yeah, he's been bankrupt twice as far as I know. Did a bit of reading on that when I was in India.
Did you really?
Ah, what a segue.
What a segue, because we're talking about you. Did you really?
Yeah.
You're very random sometimes. Like, we just decided that we were going to sing a song.
Have you met me?
I know. We sing a song. And now all of a sudden you've got all this
information. Give me another Billy Joel song. Annie.
Innocent Man.
How does it go?
But I am
an innocent man.
Yes, oh, yes, I am. And Piano Man.
There's nothing fucking innocent about me, mate. At piano. Sing me a song of the Piano
you're
Man.
You're the Piano Man.
No, I'm the Piano Man? No, you're the Piano Man. Oh, anyway. You're the Piano Man. Yeah.
Anywho, yeah. How are you?
Pretty good.
How's it being back?
Pretty interesting.
It's pretty good. But it's
yeah.
One of the best parts of traveling is coming home. I do love coming home.
Well, there's
I love
something clicks it. You know, when you know you're on your last day and tomorrow you're going home, you kind of let go and you're like, you know, all the exhaustion of so much movement
yeah.
and everything kicks in and you just think, I just want to get on a plane with some plain food, hopefully not curry because I'm fucking hungry.
curry.
And, you know, watch a movie, relax, lie back, chill
home.
Out, you know.
Well, I think that if we had planned to be away for 4 weeks, it would have been fine. We would have stayed away and it wouldn't have. But then when it comes close to coming home, you're ready to come home, you know.
Well, that's right.
But I really loved this trip. I thought it was cool.
It was
I
mean, funny, it was funny how it kicked off, you know. We were moving around the south and we were doing a lot of moving around within those first 6 or 7 days. I think we did...
We did 7 flights in about 6 days or 7 days.
Which is a lot of flying.
Which is a lot of flying. And we deliberately did that because we have never experienced the south before. So we thought, okay, well, let's do it. Let's give it a go. And what we decided to do was just to hop around to the best parts of the south and do it in a short frame of time. And then we wanted to finish up with places that we were comfortable with.
But in the south, understanding the trading routes, learning the history of how the British had come in and taken over India and what had gone on with India through that time period was absolutely fascinating. Mm. You know, I was so fascinated. Like Simon Vincent, who was with us, was able yet again to give us a great brief on what had happened with the East India Company and how Britain ended up taking over. And because when you're there, you just look at the opulence and you think, where is all of this wealth gone? Like, where are all the jewels gone? Where's it all gone? Because these guys, these not kings, what are they? Maharajas were so wealthy. Like, it was just, you know, and the British came in and just took, like, everything. You know? They didn't just take bits and pieces. They took everything and then they took the country.
Mm.
You know, it was very, very cool to, you know, spend time in the south and spend time in those ports where it was all happening and learn and be briefed on the history of what had gone on. I just loved it. And then, but of course, I love moving up north because...
Yeah, I felt like, as much as, don't get me wrong, I loved the south and we've had this conversation, loved it. I thought there was so many really cool things.
Mm.
But I felt a little bit, because it was places we hadn't been and experiences we had. It wasn't so much the experience. It was just because, I don't know, it's just not the north. Like the north is just, I don't know, it feels like home for me.
Yeah.
And getting into the first place we got to in the north was Jaipur, and getting into Jaipur was just, oh, it felt like a breath of fresh air, a breath of relief, you know, just getting into places that we were comfortable with as well. You know?
Yeah, it's funny. You go into Diggy Palace and, you know, it feels like coming home. And then if you go up and talk to, you know, the likes of Naina and you say, God, you know, getting here, they look at you and go, feels like coming home?
And he
like,
said that to
me. Yeah, it does. It feels like coming home.
Oh, you better explain who Naina is for me.
So Naina is, he's the head of the warrior caste of a place called Diggy. And so he's basically, he's royalty. And himself and his wife run a hotel palace called Diggy Palace. And then they also have Diggy Fort, which we'll speak about as we go through this and just explain what got to happen for the guys when we get out there. But I think it's important for people to understand, you know, each country that we travel to is very unique in what it delivers. India, what it delivers is every day you do something that you just think, there's no way these guys are going, there's no way we're going to be able to top today. You just can't top today. And then the next day it just blows your mind even further. And then the next day it just, and it goes every day just blows your mind. And the clients, you know, one by one, bar a handful, will come up to you and go, man, you know, how are you going to top this tomorrow? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to top this? But as I said, it was...
A lot of people in my experience have kind of avoided going to India, and not avoided, but they haven't felt the call necessarily to go to India, you know, or haven't understood why it was so cool. And then you bring them there and then they're like, oh, my God, now I get why you love this place so much. Now I get the beauty of this place, and the feel of this place is just something else. You know?
I think the beauty is in both the beauty and the ugly. You know, it's like, it's a really, really intense experience going there. You know, like, it's a really – we landed in Mumbai and you know, we did some of the run around. We did, you know, Elephant Island, and then we ended up in Leopold's. And, you know, me ending up in Leopold's was lovely for me because I had my daughter with me, and we sat and we had a bite to eat in Leopold's. And if you've read Shantaram, which, you know, we highly recommend people to read the book. If you've read Shantaram, you'll know the significance of what Leopold's plays
in
the actual book. But when you get there, that... It really is, you know, it's not an adventure. It's a journey for a person, you know. It's a real, you go through this journey of you know, with people. And then you also go through a personal journey yourself. You know, I went through a very personal journey with Lola, you know, connecting with her and then recognizing when I don't connect with her, you know, she slept in the bed next to me every night. You know, and, you know, there were times when she'd have a meltdown, and there were times when, you know, I'd have a meltdown and she'd be like, you all right, Dad? Do you need a Lola hug? And so it's a journey on the inside with people that you love. And, you know, even with a client, sitting with, you know, making sure that I spend time individually sitting with each client and connecting with them and getting past the student teacher thing and, you know, just connecting with them as a person. And then, you know, watching their amazement as you go to the next place, and then, you know,
that's the best.
They're so moved by something, and then they come and tell you, oh my God, I've just realized this, and, you know, I've just really got to appreciate that. And it's really rich to have that experience with people, because, like, most of the countries you can hide, but India, you just cannot hide. Mm. You know, you just cannot hide.
I've noticed, though, now, something I noticed this trip is that, I suppose, because I don't know if it's because I've been there so many times. I've been there 6 times. You now have been there 8 times, right? I noticed that as much as I love it, I felt the impact of it so much more when we first got there, I first got there 6 years ago. And that's because it was so different back then. It was dirtier. It was messier. It was way more intense than it is now. So for me, it's like the intensity has eased off a little bit. The lessons haven't, and the looking inside hasn't, but the intensity has a little bit, you know. And I don't know if it's because I'm used to it or not, but I noticed that for other people, it was still quite. It was very intense for people to be in that space, you know.
Well, when you come from a place of, you know, non-intensity, non-crazy, and then you go to a country that's really intense and everything's a bit crazy. And, you know, the Indians kind of laugh at it. You know, they laugh at themselves. They really are able to laugh at themselves. Even Vikram is like, you know, look at this. This is just crazy, you know. He will sit and just laugh, because you can't do anything other than laugh at what people are doing and laugh at what's going on.
On the way to the Taj, I went a couple of days before everyone because I was with my nephew, you know, and I went to the Taj first instead of going last, because we wanted to stop in Singapore a couple of days on the way back rather than doing it beforehand. And the day I was going to the Taj, we had to change a lot of our plans because Trump was going to the Taj on the same day. And so we were supposed to get there probably about half an hour before cutoff time. And so we needed to make our earlier train. Anyway, we're on the train in the morning and I happened to ask Vikram, hey, Vikram, what time are we getting there now that we were on the earlier train? And he told me, and I went, is that real time or India time, as a joke? Because, you know, yeah. Indian stretchable time is what they call it, or he calls it. And he goes, no, it's real time. It's a train. We're going to be fine. And the next minute I hear him in this heated discussion in Hindi with one of the guys in front of us. And he tells me later that the guy in front of us goes, why are you talking about India like that? Why? And Vikram had to argue back to say, you don't even know what we're talking about here. Yeah. They've got into this disagreement. It was so funny because he was like, for 10 minutes they were discussing about the fact that I had teased about Indian stretchable time.
Oh, right.
But I think most people do laugh at it because you can't do anything about it. Like it's just what it is.
Yeah, they all get that the place is a bit crazy. Because the place is a bit crazy.
And I think he was a bit defensive of that.
Yeah, this guy. Not wanting to own the craziness of India. But you know, turning up the last time I left India we were with I was having tea with Naina and Jyotika, and they were telling me
Jyotika is Naina's wife.
They were telling me about the project that they were doing out in Diggy Fort, and what had happened was.
So we were out there end of 2017. So it was about 2.5 years ago that we were having this discussion with them.
And what had happened was 10 years earlier when I met them, we were having a conversation and I was talking with Naina. I was like, God, dude, you look stressed. And he goes, oh, man, I've just come back from we have a fort in a place called Diggy. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, the locals keep moving in and building shops and we have to keep going down and knocking the shops down and telling them it's our land. You can't build on it. And I said, so why are you not out in the land? And he said, well, because we walked away from it about 160 years ago. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he said, so we have to keep kicking them off the land. But he said, every time we kick them off the land, we'll go back a month later and they'll have built more shops. So he said, we're backwards and forwards all the time. And I'm like, right. And he said, I'm going to have to do something with the place. And then about 5 years ago, we were there. I found out that they'd started to rebuild the place. They'd started to renovate it and reclaim it. And then 2.5 years ago when I was out there, they were telling me how far through the project they were. And they said, look, next time you're out here, you can come and stay. So I said, well, I'm going to...
It'll be ready, they said.
Yeah, he said, it'll be ready. I'm going to hold you to that. And I think about 8 months before we went out, they were contacted by us and we said, look, is it still okay for us to go and stay?
Yeah, so originally we had booked Diggy Palace for 3 nights and then based on what had happened, we said, okay, well, let's see if we can stay the last night at the fort. So I contacted them and they said, yeah, we can.
So when I got out to India, I was a bit nervous because you have to be very careful with India. You know, I was a bit nervous about, ooh, crikey, you know, what's it going to be like? Is the digs going to be good? Is there going to be kitchens there? Is the food going to be okay? How many people are going to be working? Is it, you know, how renovated is it going to be?
You were nervous. I was nervous. I'd been messaging them in the lead up going, okay, now you've told us we can stay there, but can you just give us a picture of the rooms? Can you just show us what it's going to look like?
Right.
And no one would get back to us. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what are we taking these guys into?
So when I met Naina, I kept saying to him, so, Naina, how many rooms have you got available? Like, and he goes, don't worry.
With his little hand gesture, don't worry.
Don't worry. And I'm like, so, Naina, okay, yeah. And how many staff have you got working out there? Don't worry. Okay, yeah, no, I won't worry. And, is there kitchens? Have you got food? And please, Mitch, don't worry. It's very beautiful. You'll love it when you get out there. You'll see it. And I'm like, right, okay, yeah. So I was panicking. I was like, Christ, he's not telling me anything because when I get out there, the place is going to be not finished.
We're going to have like
no, he's
like
going to move into a building site, which is can happen in India. And I remember we got on, as we got on the bus and we were driving out there and we were driving into the village and we pulled up into the village next to this ghat and they had cleaned, like the ghat was all cleaned and I get out and as I'm looking out the window, I can see two snakes in the water and I get out of the water and I'm like, God, we're really rural here. Like how much work could I have done in this place? And then I look over to the left and they're building what I thought were shops and I later found out were toilets for the women and like stacks of them. And I'm thinking, oh, right, they must be installing shops. And then I get out and there's two Naina's offsider and nephew, and And then three tractors pull up. And on the back of the tractors are these wooden carts. And we're told, everybody get into the back of the wooden cart. So they're piling everybody into the back of the wooden
cart. We felt like cattle in the first instance.
Literally. And so there's tinsel all over. I'm thinking, oh, my God, if this is anything to go by, this is going to be a mess. So the tractors take off, blah, 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 blah. And they're moving through the
really slowly
through the town. And all the locals are coming out, you know, hello, namaste, namaste. And they're waving at us. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. And then obviously we had videographers with us shooting movies and you know, all the way through I'm thinking, oh my God. So we get to this first doorway, archway.
Just in the lead up to that though, Mitch, like that drive through the town, it was really slow,
yeah.
Right? And at first it felt like, oh, we've been herded like cattle. But then as we go through, the fact that everyone was just so
excited,
welcoming and lovely, or next minute, before you know it, you feel like you're on parade.
Yeah.
You're feeling like you're on a float in a parade and everybody is just lining the street saying hello.
It was funny. It was like you kind of felt like you were an important part of the progress of the town and the economy of the town, and they were welcoming us because they know that it was Western money coming into the town and, you know, that we were appreciative and they were out appreciating us. And we came to the first doorway, and above the doorway, they were dropping petals on top of us like rain, and Lola was just lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh my God, this is magic. And then we get to the next doorway and then it's even bigger and there's more petals being dropped on us. And then we come into the fort, and as we come into the fort, the clients are just like, wow, and the place was just pristine.
Oh, it was magnificent. We literally got treated like royalty. We got embraced like one of their own, and the place was just
massive.
It was just massive, and it was magical, you know, walking in there. And, you know, like after you've had petals thrown on you, like your royalty, and you're welcomed with the, you know, your wreath of flowers, and you walk around, all you want to do is just like walk around with your eyes open, your mouth is open, and everyone's like, oh my God. We walked around to the courtyard, and then we got served this amazing like masala tea. Oh my God.
But even the fountains as we came in, you walk close to the fountains and these fountains switched on.
Yes.
And the lawns were like meticulously manicured. The place was just, and it was vast. And I said, my God. He said, mate, there's 7 yards like this here.
Yeah.
There's 7 yards throughout this place. And then he said to me, you know, Mitch, you guys are the first people to stay here in 300 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're the first people to stay here in 300 years.
Yeah.
And I was just so taken back. And I was just so appreciative, just for us, but for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, you know, they had the masala tea, they had a few little nibbles, and we had a chat. Everyone went to the room. So I didn't go to my room. I was sorting out the room keys. But by the time I finished that, I just wanted to stay down and have a drink and whatever. And have a chat. So I was sitting down having a chat, and everybody's up in these beautiful, like we're in the courtyard and everyone overlooked the courtyard. Yeah. It was phenomenal. And everyone's coming back going, oh my God, Mills, the rooms are amazing.
Yeah.
Naina's wife, Jodica, had done all of the work on
them. Yeah.
And then somebody came up to me and goes, Mills, this is just not good enough. We just haven't had our fire. Where's the fireworks? Like just as a joke, you know.
Yeah.
And then Naina took us around and showed us around and he said, you can't see everything here. It's nighttime now. But come and have a look around. Showed us around. And then we got taken up onto the rooftop.
Yeah.
And on the rooftop, everyone was served moe.
Yep.
And then next minute, I've got it actually on video. I did it for Instagram. I was videoing you.
Right.
And you were hugging Kim and we were talking, and then next minute the fireworks started. Yeah. And they literally had fireworks on for us, and people were in tears. There were people blowing their noses and snotting everywhere. Yeah. It was just like an experience out of the world. And I was saying to people, you know, Mitch is going to go home now. And he's going to tell people in the seminars that we stayed in a place that we hadn't stayed in, that no one stayed in 300 years. We had flowers put on us. We treated like royalty.
Yeah.
We hung around with the king. We had fireworks and all these things. And no one's going to believe anything that we say because it sounds way exaggerated.
That's
and
exactly
it was all true. And we all wanted to pull all-nighters that night. We were so disappointed because we had to leave early the next morning, and I think everyone wanted to make use of the beautiful comfy beds and everyone was only in them for like 4 hours because everyone was up really early in the morning for sunrise over the city. It was just – and then The next morning, how everybody was wandering around just like kids, yeah. I was up on the top of the fort and I was just sitting there just taking it all in, and people were having breakfast down there, and I was waving at Naina and I said, I'm feeling like a child, just like exploring little, yeah. You know, avenues, because that's what our intention is, you know. Yeah. And it was just awesome to go around and just to spend
absolutely
time there.
Absolutely incredible. And yeah. It's not just that. I mean, they really make you feel as if you're one of the family.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But it's at the same time, it's still business as usual. You know, it's like, you know, it's still business as usual with the guys, which I really, really took away from this particular trip, that it's important, you know, to be clear that, you know, business is business in life. But while we're doing business, I'm going to make you feel like
a family.
That you're one of my family, yeah. And you are so important to me. And they really made us feel that. Does
absolutely,
that make sense? They
yeah.
really, he really got me to see that when with your people that are investing time and energy and money and you know, focus with you, it's so important to let them feel as if you're one of the family.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
And when we were there, we were having dinner. One of the other things that struck with me was that one of the things somebody had said to him was that he was trying to be somebody else. He was trying to be like some of the other hotels, some of the other people. And somebody said to him, the only person, you're Diggy, he said, the only person you can be is Diggy. The only thing you can provide is Diggy. And he said that was the best piece of advice. He said, because I stopped trying to be anybody else,
yeah.
And I was just myself. And this is the result of me just being myself and just doing what we do, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, it was also great to hear him talk about some of the great things that he does for the community, for the women, the marriages, the weddings that happened here. Like 20, 30, 40,000 people turn up to the weddings.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of people. Know. And just to hear how they come about and,
well, he gives them the opportunity to get married without the cost,
yeah.
Right? And sharing the load with amongst the villagers and amongst the community, and he has the villagers working in there with him as well. And like, you know, he introduced us to the guy, said everything that has been sown in this place was done by him.
Mm.
Every bit of carpentry that was done in the place, he was the one who did it. So yep. He's giving the locals the opportunity to work, you know, It was the highlight of my trip, I think.
I mean, I could probably talk about that part of the experience for hours and hours and hours and hours, because it was just so mind-blowing. Even when he was taking me through, you didn't get to do that. It was myself and Greg.
Where you went with Greg.
He walked us through and then showed us all the quarters, and they were non-monogamous, they were polygamists, and how the king would have like 9 wives and what room they would stay in, and how he would choose the wife that he was going to sleep with that night, and how they would get her up through the back of the fort, you know, through all these little alleyways, nooks and crannies to get them into the king's room, you know. And it was just incredible to hear the history of it, you know, but to be walking through that history, you know, it was just absolutely, and they're his family.
Yeah.
You know, they're his family. And so he said to me, look, you know, next time you come back, so we're going to go back to this particular place. He said, we'll spend 4 days here. And he said, I'll take you to places that Westerners have never been to. And he said that are hidden gems that not a lot of people know about. He said that are part of my family. And he said, Mitch, I have 3 of these. This haveli you're in now, this fort, he said, I have 3 of them. Mm. And then he said, within this town alone, I have another 3 smaller forts. Mm. So just fantastic to hear that stuff, you know, and to be able to go and experience that and watch the work that they put into restoring it and getting it back to what it was just incredible, you know.
You know, I'd love to have him on and do a podcast with him as a guest, because he's an amazing human being, you know, him and his wife. When he was talking as well, you know, the whole fact that he was so humble, you know, he was just wandering around with everybody. He didn't make himself more or less than equal, and he shared his you know how we talk about accountability and sharing the accountability with everybody. And you know, he didn't take credit and he didn't take blame. He was just, this is a part of all of us. Everybody did this, you know. And I remember you saying something to him about, I think this is when I was filming you, you said something to him about thanks for like doing this for us or something and making everyone feel so welcome. And he said, but you've come all the way from Australia. Why wouldn't I do this?
Yeah.
You know, it was like the love and the care that he put in, and the fact that he was just one of us as we were going through. I just want to say another thing that I learnt from him this time is that how he treated Lola. And I feel like a big learning for me, and it's something that I already know, but I just remembered and got in another way. You know, as soon as he met Lola, he took her little face into his hands and he just looked at her and he said, "Do you know the miracle that you are?"
Mm.
You know, and I think, how dare we forget that we're miracles, you know, because we were all seen like that, especially, you know, right at the start. And then it's like, find you a man that treats you the way that Diggy Fort treats you, I swear. Because it's like there was, it was just royalty. Like, you just felt like you were so important and so special. And I look at that and I go, why do we not think that? Like, who are we to not think that about ourselves, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We deserve to have, we deserve to be loved and to be treated, you know, in this way. So I felt like that whole experience of Diggy was just a reinforcement of that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, then we think we go to, and we're all a little bit disappointed to leave Diggy Palace because we're like,
Diggy Fort,
because we're like, oh, we could have done another 3 or 4 days here. Yep. You know, that would have been awesome. Mm. But then, you know, we get to the next place and.
Because I'd sat at dinner with him the night before.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, we're going to Ranthambore tomorrow, because one of the clients came over and said, how are you going to top this? You know, how are you going to top this? And then he looked at me, the client said, we better see tigers tomorrow. And we all laughed. And, and Nana looked at me and said, oh, are you going to Ranthambore tomorrow? And I said, yeah. He said, and you want to see tigers? And I'm like, yeah. He said, don't worry. I'll arrange that for you. And I'm like, really? And then he jumps on the phone. I don't know what he was doing. But the next day when we get to Ranthambore, we go
straight to safari, right?
Straight to safari. And we go straight to safari. And we get into the safari park about 5 minutes in, and then suddenly the truck stops and the guy goes, there's a tiger. And then in front of us lying down is a tiger, and he goes, oh yeah, it's two cubs are here as well. Her two cubs are here as well. So we're like, holy, the chances of seeing a tiger are very, very slim.
Well,
like,
we were there before and we never saw one, right?
That's right. That's right. So the chances of seeing a tiger were very, very slim. And there in front of us lying next to the water was
when he said cubs, I actually thought they were going to be tiny, but they were massive, weren't they?
Huge cats.
Huge. So, and then they got up and
walked amongst us, walked around the trucks, walked past us and then got into the water, and then they're moving through the water. One tiger goes up one way, the other goes another way. One moves through the water, and then the elk on the left-hand side started putting out this call, the noise to let them know, the other elk know that the tigers were coming through. It was, and I thought it was going to be, I thought if there's going to be a kill here, like to catch a kill on camera would just be insane, you know, just be insane. And we didn't see a kill, but I mean, the clients came up to us afterwards and were just like, Jesus, guys, this was just, has just been incredible.
Incredible,
you know?
Yeah.
But that's what India does. India, you know, I'm a firm believer. India has been very, very good to me in my life. When you give something to India, India gives something to you. And the thing that it gives back to me every time is some sort of lesson in humility, some sort of lesson in gratitude and family. In, you know, I don't proclaim to exercise everything that I learned from the situation, but it definitely reminds me of, you know, who I am as a person and what more there is to learn about me and life. Yeah, I absolutely love the place.
I think there's so much love that goes around that you see, you know, even that day on the trucks, that the guys, you went on my truck, I was on the other one, and the guide, the driver, was so, he was like, oh my God, like, and Vikram kept saying, your karma must be very good, you guys, if you are seeing this, you know. But our driver was like, oh my God, this was amazing, he said. Right. And his little boy was there wearing these shades, his aviator shades, you know, with the, and he goes, it is my boy, he is good luck, you know. But the way that they communicate that, and the joy in his face was just like, oh.
It's kind of like they live where the language of mysticism is not something that's poo-pooed, you know. They live a mystical existence, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
And mysticism is something that's normal to them.
Yeah.
You know, the wisdom is something that, you know, is, you know, if you don't believe in mysticism and wisdom, there's something, you know, you're not Indian.
Yeah.
You know, if you're Indian, you understand that this is a, mysticism is a part of your life, because the place is like a mystical land. It's really, really incredible.
Yeah. And then after all the running around of all the south, and then we got to chill out in Ranthambore a bit, and then people were like, how are you going to top the tigers now? Like, seriously. And then we rock up to Pushkar, and Pushkar is kind of like everybody's favourite place, isn't it? Well, it's mine. There's something about the place that just makes me feel like I'm home. Mm. You go straight for your Nutella pancakes. I noticed the photo that you put up on social, you and Lola, Nutella pancakes.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're pretty good over there. And
do you know there's no dairy or eggs in those pancakes?
Isn't there? Oh, no, well, there's not. There wouldn't be.
Yeah,
because
there's no dairy or eggs
in.
Close to the lake.
Yeah, close to the lake. Mm. And alcohol.
No alcohol, yeah.
And
as much hash as you want.
Yeah, of course.
You can smoke your head off. If you're a stoner, you're in the right place.
Yeah. But then we got to something we'd been wanting to do for years was to experience Holi Festival.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what to expect. I was a bit nervous about it, but also excited, but just, didn't know exactly what to expect. And then, you know, it was a great bit. Pushkar, when we got there, it was like really busy compared to how we've seen it, right? And then, yeah, Holi turns up. We're all in our whites and then we go for it. It's just, that was just phenomenal, throwing colours at everybody. And I noticed something there as well, like on the day, you and I were covered up, you know, we had our face, my mask, well, it was covering my face, and I had glasses on as well so that it wouldn't get in my eyes. I was very precious about it getting in my hair as well, so everything was covered up. But then everyone was coming up, and the way that the Indians do it, they dip their hand in the colour. They're not just throwing powder at each other, which I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, because I flung some powder at someone and hit them right in the mouth.
That's right, I saw you do
that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And this guy grabs a bottle of Coke and he's trying to rinse it out and I'm like, I'm so sorry. But I didn't know what Holi was about.
I didn't know that you weren't supposed to. Anyway, I was doing it for a few people, but then Vikram came up and he stuck his hand in the colour, and Vikram turned into this big kid, right?
Oh my God,
It was very cute to watch. And he grabbed the powder and he dragged it along my jawline, you know, and it was like Happy Holi Millie, and he really connected with me when he did that, you know. And it wasn't just him. It was everybody. That's what they were doing. They weren't just chucking it at you and going, here you go. They were like Happy Holi and really connecting and making an effort to.
I think the lake in diameter is about 4 km to walk around.
Yeah.
But I think there was like 40,000 people.
Was that?
But he was saying to me that there was 110,000 people the year before, but because of the coronavirus, there was less. But there was 40,000 people there. We got in the morning with the kids.
Lucky we went in at 8:30,
and then got out as quickly as we could. And then obviously some of the clients disappeared into Holi.
Well, they got a big DJ stage. Everyone's dancing.
Yeah, everybody's dancing, having a good time. But that's a lot of people in that small area.
Spot,
like, my God, it was just intense, you know.
But it was, I don't know, did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. Kids. I have to say, with the Holi thing, I was very nervous about going in because I had Lola with me, and then I had, you have the responsibility of one of the other kids as well. And I was nervous for the clients. I didn't know what was going to happen, you know, because you hear mixed reports about what goes on there, but it's all about the energy you bring, you know. And once I let go of that, it was really quite, a mystical, magical experience. I loved it.
Yeah, everyone just went back in and had a great time, you know. Mm. And then Vikram just dumped me in it so badly because he wanted to get your mask off and he wanted to get you coloured everywhere. Mm. So he did, and he got everyone ganged up, and I just said to him, all I said to him was, hey, Vikram, if you do it, just make sure you get it on camera and don't waste that moment.
Right.
And then everyone ganged up on you and got you coloured,
So then
he goes and says to you, it was Millie's idea that we did that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Literally wasn't my idea, but he was trying to get me in the shit then. And then everyone comes at me and gets colour all over my face, and then it's on for young and old.
Yeah.
If mine's going to come off, everybody else is going to come off. So we covered everybody's hair, everybody's faces, and it was just – it was kind of magical. I don't know about the laundering in the hotels, like I said, coloured towels.
No, the towels, curtains, everything was just
– yeah, anyway, what do you think the best lesson was for you?
Like I said, when you're dealing with people, treat them like they're your family, your brother, your sister. You know, once they, when they're invested in you, you got to invest in them as if they're your family, your brother, your sister.
What is it, do you think, that makes you want to go back to India? Like, Peter said to me, I've been to South America and I loved it, but I don't feel the need to come back. go back.
Yeah.
He said, but with India, because India was one of the places he wasn't really sure of, but he said, with India, I would 100% come back here. And I feel the same. It's like there's always a draw and a pull to go back.
I feel I feel very special there. Like I know a bit about it and that I can talk about it and I can help other people to experience the wonderment of the place, and I get to share that with people, and I get to go to specific places that I know that that's going to happen for them. And I think having the opportunity to share that with me, being part of that for them, is really rich for me. I just love that experience. I don't know whether that's a selfish thing, but I just love that experience.
Well, it possibly is, but I'm the same. It's like sharing that, sharing the love of a place with somebody. And India, I just love. And I do. I'm the same. I feel special there, and I feel homesick when I'm not there.
Yeah.
I feel like a draw and a pull to go back there, you know. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That was good. Until next time.
See you, India. We love you. Namaste.
Bye. Namaste.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.